This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The media is forced to pay for Trump's library. We'll talk about their reverence for the truth tonight. Carol Roth joins us. What's going on with the economy? What's going on with these drones? Ross Kennedy is here. Jeffrey Tucker. What a show tonight on I'm Right. Okay, so let's talk about this media settlement, ABC, lies, communism, shared values. We have so much to discuss tonight. First, let me ask you something. Do you believe telling the truth is better than lying? And if you have kids, or maybe you are one, do you want them to tell the truth or do you want them to lie? Of course, it's obvious, it's almost a stupid question. Of course, telling the truth is better. That's just how everyone thinks, right? But that's kind of why I asked the question. Let me stop you right there for a moment. This is a mistake we on the right have made time and time and time again. It's a very human nature mistake to make. A mistake we talk about often here on the show. The mistake of putting your values, projecting your values onto other people who don't share those values at all. I just asked you if you cared about telling the truth, and of course you said yes. Well, telling the truth is better than lying, but is there a guy on the sidewalk outside of your house, or did you see one today? When you drove by, would you think if I asked him that question and he had to answer honestly, do you think he would give the same answer you did? Well, you probably say, yeah, of course. Well, everyone values honesty, but that's where you make a mistake, you see. There are people all across this planet for various reasons who do not share your values at all, not even a little bit. And the American communist most definitely does not share your values. He knows what your values are. He can see them. You're very honest about them. And so he knows he has to act as if he shares your values. But deep down inside, he doesn't share your values one little bit. And that's going to bring us to the media and this defamation case. Before I get to ABC and George Stephanopoulos, though, as an example of what I'm going to talk about here, I'm going to read you a quote. This is a direct quote from the head of NPR. Catherine Mayer is her name. And her quote was this. She was standing up on stage, giving a speech, talking to a bunch of people. This is a direct quote. Catherine Mayer. Quote, our reverence for the truth might be a distraction getting in the way of finding common ground and getting things done. I want you to just digest that for a moment before we go into ABC, the media, and everything else. Our reverence for the truth, for you, it's a good thing, right? And you would think the media, a media organization, would really treasure that. But the head of this media organization, in a moment of honesty, said, I have a distraction. But a distraction from what? A distraction from what? From reaching a consensus and getting things done. You see, you think everyone shares the values of telling the truth, but that couldn't be less true. They don't share those values at all. They know they have to act as if they share those values. But for them, the most important thing is not the truth. It's certainly not informing you. The most important thing is getting things done. And sometimes that means lying. Really, that rarely means telling the truth. And that is how the corporate media, which is all communist in this country, that's how they have operated for decades and decades. Now, it's much, much worse now than it ever was. It was always bad. There's always been yellow journalism, evil journalists, but today, All you have to do is go look at the ideology of the journalism schools in this country, and you will realize that whenever you turn on the television, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, pick your channel, pick your publication, Washington Post, New York Times, those are all communists. They're all dyed-in-the-wool communists. And they believe getting things done is the most important thing. Oh, of course, they know they have to use phrases that kind of appeal to your values and my values. That's why they say things like, well, we have to speak truth to power. They love saying things like that. Or we have to inform voters. But remember, truth isn't secondary to these people. It's very common for us to describe it that way for them. Oh, the truth is just secondary. Truth is not involved in the equation at all. They're not concerned with that at all. They're on a mission. They're on a mission to destroy everything. And the truth, frankly, is a ridiculous thing they never even consider. And this is just how they operate. When I come into the studio every single day, I'll tell you this. When I show up here in the studio every day, I get a cup of coffee. We have a little coffee machine in this little kitchen, and I go and I get a cup of coffee. It's a matter of routine. It's just what I do. I get a cup of coffee, start looking through things. For the American media, for the corporate media, their cup of coffee is lying. They lie about everything at all times, and they always have. That's just how they do business. They're on a mission, telling the truth. And so George Stephanopoulos, a little while back on March 10th, 2024, I don't know why I can't talk right now, sat down with Nancy Mace and said an outright lie.
You've endorsed Donald Trump for president. Mm-hmm. Judges and two separate juries have found him liable for rape and for defaming the victim of that rape. How do you square your endorsement of Donald Trump with the testimony we just saw?
Well, I will tell you, I was raped at the age of 16. And any rape victim will tell you, I've lived for 30 years with an incredible amount of shame over being raped. I didn't come forward because of that judgment and shame that I felt. It's a shame that you will never feel, George. And I'm not going to sit here on your show and be asked a question meant to shame me about another potential rape victim. I'm not gonna do that. You know how hard it was to tell my story 5 years ago when they were doing a fetal heartbeat bill and there were no exceptions for rape, incest, or incest in there? I had to tell my story because no other woman was coming forward.
I'm just asking.
No rape victims were represented. And you're trying to shame me this morning.
I'm just asking.
And I find it offensive. And this is why women won't come forward.
Yeah, setting aside Nancy Mace's comments, what George Stephanopoulos said right there was a lie. And it wasn't like a shade of the truth. Well, a manipulation of things. It was a black and white lie. Donald Trump was not found liable for rape. It's a black and white lie. And now we have entered a new era, and it's going to be a brutal, brutal era for the American media, who's used to having that cup of coffee. They're used to being able to simply tell those lies. Donald Trump sued ABC, and George Stephanopoulos was about to have to go sit down for a deposition under oath. He was going to have to open the books, if you will, all those emails, all those texts, what might he have found there? We don't know, because ABC, so nervous about the prospect of that, decided to go ahead and stroke a $15 million check to Donald Trump for the lie they told on camera. And in a hilarious moment of irony, that money is actually going to go to pay for Donald Trump's presidential library. You know how every president gets a library when they're done? ABC lying about Trump, they're going to pay for Donald Trump's presidential library. But that isn't even the most shocking thing about all this. Again, every single day when I come into the studio, I get a cup of coffee. It's just a matter of routine for the American media. Lying about people on the right is simply a cup of coffee. It's how they've always operated. ABC just wrote a $15 million check for what George Stephanopoulos said right there on camera. And MSNBC, after this, said the same thing.
I would just say, I mean, this feels like it has a real chilling effect. Like, I mean, shout out to the standards department. Okay, standards is always making sure that we are keeping the bar high and substantive and accurate. But what George Stephanopoulos said in that interview, I mean, it it seems to hold up with what the judge said after the fact. And now his news organization and himself, George Stephanopoulos himself, is paying $1 million of his own money to the lawyers and ABC at $15 million. It's insane.
They can't help themselves. Why can't they help themselves? Because telling lies is simply what they've always done. All communism focuses on control of information because all communism is evil, horrible, people will hate it, and therefore they have to lie about everything at all times. Truth is not secondary to them. Truth is outright banned. It's not even allowed. They would never be able to function in any kind of a system where they had to be honest about their plans, about the results of their plans. You realize if the American corporate media told the truth about Democrats and their policies, there would be no Democrat Party. They would be so wiped out from coast to coast nationwide, the party itself would cease to exist and they would come up with some kind of a new party. That's how unpopular these people would be without an ocean of lies. Their entire existence is built on a foundation of lies. They don't know any other way. And to piggyback on this, to put a little cherry on top of this, I should say, Mark Andreessen's one of these corporate CEO types, you know, career lib, who's come out in support of Donald Trump and speaking against Democrats. He was talking about AI, artificial intelligence. And what he says here on camera is some of the craziest stuff ever, unless you accept the people we're facing are communists who believe in controlling information, all of it, at all times.
We had meetings in D.C. in May where we talked to them about this, and the meetings were absolutely horrifying, and we came out basically deciding we had to endorse Trump.
What did you hear in those meetings?
AI is a technology basically that the government is going to completely control. This is not going to be a startup thing. They actually said flat out to us, don't do AI startups. Like, don't fund AI startups. It's not something that we're going to allow to happen. They're not going to be allowed to exist. There's no point. They basically said AI is going to be a game of two or three big companies working closely with the government, and we're going to basically wrap them in a, you know, I'm paraphrasing, but we're going to basically wrap them in a government cocoon. We're going to protect them from competition. We're going to control them, and we're going to dictate what they do. And then I said, I don't understand how you're going to lock this down so much, because like the math for, you know, AI is like out there and it's being taught everywhere. And, you know, they literally said, well, you know, during the Cold War, we classified entire areas of physics and took them out of the research community, and like entire branches of physics basically went dark and didn't proceed. And that if we decide we need to, we're going to do the same thing to the math underneath AI.
And, wow.
And I said, I've just learned two very important things. Because I wasn't aware of the former, and I wasn't aware that you were, you know, even conceiving of doing it to the latter.
AI. Wave of the future stuff, artificial intelligence stuff. The Biden administration called in the big shots and said, don't even bother starting anything. We intend to control it all. They don't share your values at all, and they certainly don't share your reverence for the truth. It will be an interesting new world now, watching these people have to write checks for every lie they tell. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Jeffrey Tucker is going to join us next. Talk about the United Healthcare CEO murder, the reverence for the murder, all kinds of creepy stuff out there. Before we get to him, let's get to this. Speaking of your body, your health. You know, the first place I go is Chalk. Chalk.com. Natural is the way. Natural. When you can, find natural solutions for whatever you're looking for. You're low on energy? You should be on a stack from Chalk. Male vitality stack or a female vitality stack. You want to start your day with all the vitamins and minerals you need? I start my day every day with Chalk Lip Powder poured in a smoothie, glass of milk, whatever. Chalk is my first stop, not my last stop. I love them. They're hardcore anti-communists, and they have changed my entire life. I feel so good all the time now, thanks to Chalk. You want a huge discount? Big discount in December. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
Elizabeth Warren obviously understands killing and murder and shooting somebody in the back is totally unacceptable. Mm-hmm. But what I think has happened in the last few months is that what you have seen rising up is people's anger at a health insurance industry which denies people the health care that they desperately need while they make billions and billions of dollars in profit.
Well, of course, shooting somebody in the back is wrong, but... And then he goes on to explain exactly why it was justified. Of course, this is the same Bernie Sanders. One of his supporters showed up at a baseball game, softball practice, forget what it was, GOP congressman there, and guy showed up and tried to murder everybody. He was a huge Bernie Sanders supporter, tried to do it because of the things Bernie Sanders told him all the time. Interesting how often violence follows these people. Joining me now, Jeffrey A. Tucker, founder and president of the Brownstone Institute. Jeffrey, it is so wild how often political violence gets traced right back to a communist. It's almost as if it's in their nature.
There's a deeper issue going on here, and it's not even the communists. This is an attempt to change the narrative structure of our times, where we're seeing all these preference cascades. Everything's being brought into question, the deep state, for that matter, daylight savings time, vaccine mandates, big rule by agencies. Doge is talking about $2 trillion cuts. Everything is changing. And it's all a result of a kind of populist movement that is increasingly skeptical of the elites. So what you have with this killing right now is an attempt to divert the populist movement and change its structure away from pharma, away from agencies, away from big media and captured by the deep state towards completely innocent people who are just trying to exist within the enterprise system as it's been set up, namely health insurance. It's not their fault that the system is such a messed up thing. That's Obamacare. And so the killing of this guy is a performative assassination. It's like, well, yeah, he did kill him, and that's bad. On the other hand, the public is upset. So it's a kind of a faux populism designed to replace the real populism and divert people's anger away from government, media, big tech, over towards completely blameless sources that are existing within the structure that the left itself set up with Obamacare, and it's a classic sort of triangulating move by the creators of ruling class creators of sort of public narratives designed for the public mind. That's what's happening, and it's not at all unusual that this happens right before Trump gets inaugurated.
So you think this is more the left trying to co-opt a populist uprising against some evils, them trying to grab it and kind of divert it, if you will?
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I mean, the insurance companies, again, they just exist within a structure that was set up. The healthcare system, obviously needs reform, but killing the CEO of UnitedHealth is, it's just an outrageous act of murder. And what's interesting about this guy, Luigi Mangione, he's straight out of central casting, he's good looking and, got a six pack. He's got all this kind of stuff going for him. He's killed in righteous anger for his supposed injury. But, from a class point of view, what's interesting is this guy comes from a mega wealthy family, went to the finest prep schools, and he killed a guy who, lifted himself up off his bootstraps, working odd jobs as a kid, and so it's a way of saying it doesn't matter if you're rich and privileged. What matters is that you're killing the people who deserve public scorn and blame. And that's why the universal messaging ever since this assassination has been, well, that's bad, but it's not so bad. And what else do you expect when you have such a bad system? And don't you think we need Medicare for all or socialized medicine? So that's what's going on. People need to understand this. There's a big difference between the United Healthcare CEO and the Pfizer CEO, which is definitely allied with state power, and the United Health CEO is it's a private company doing its best to operate within a totally messed up structure. So it's an attempt to divert the populist energies away from the real bad guys towards fake bad guys and pave the way for more state power and Medicare for all and socialized medicine, as Bernie Sanders wants. And once you see this, it's impossible not to notice. And I'm not saying that there is a plot to set this guy up and achieve this, but there might as well have been. certain interests out there are trying to use this as a way of changing the debate and discussion that's going on in this country, which has become gravely threatening to a lot of powers that be. So, we need to be alert to this kind of stuff between now and inauguration, for that matter, afterwards. An attempt to kind of rile the public up against fake enemies so we'll stop targeting the real enemies.
Jennifer, you mentioned Obamacare, and a lot of people, obviously we have short memories, it happens in societies. People don't realize how responsible Obamacare is for the disastrous healthcare system we now have in this country. They just don't get it.
They have no idea, and something I've raged against, and which I hope is going to come into question, is this idea that health insurers have to insure everybody, regardless of their risk. I mean, that means it's not insurance, really. The actuaries are not in charge. And the funny thing is, it's not as if the actuaries don't exist within healthcare. It's just they're not allowed to run risk profiles against individuals. So they have to do it against whole classes and whole regions, and in effect shove us into a kind of socialistic system that's administered by private companies that have no choice about it. So, everybody pays for everybody else's health care now, and that's why your premium soared after Obamacare. And really the 90%, or I don't know how you want to look at the numbers, but it's like, the overwhelming majority are paying hugely high prices for a small minority of people that are consuming all the resources. And I'm not proposing we have a different central plan. All I'm suggesting is that our healthcare ought to work more like auto insurance. And be more specifically targeted to individuals, and that would make such a huge difference. Right now, there's absolutely no incentive for anybody to get healthy. I mean, if you're a change in diet and exercise and quit smoking and substance abuse and stuff caused your health insurance that you were personally paying, if you were personally paying as opposed to your business, which is another thing that needs to change, if that could make a difference, it would immediately contribute mightily to the Make America Healthy Great Again, Make America Healthy Again agenda. Whereas right now, it really doesn't matter whether you're desperately ill by your own hand or by an accident of nature, or whether you've been working to get healthy again. It's not going to change anything about your premiums. And the other thing is that we can't have catastrophic healthcare coverage that would cost $50 a month or whatever, because you have these predetermined packages. And this is all a consequence of Obamacare. It was a cockamamie crazy system when it went in, and it was destined to vastly increase healthcare costs. And pillage us and give us worse outcomes. And that was inevitable from the very beginning. Now that it's happened, you've got Bernie Sanders out there, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Nothing wrong with the public being mad at the health insurance companies rather than the government that makes them operate within a certain structure. I mean, we need dramatic healthcare reform in this country. We need to start to seriously talk about it and raise questions about these preset benefit packages. Okay, that's one thing. Another one is the mandate that they accept all comers no matter how unhealthy they are, and can't adjust premiums based on the health of the individual. That's outrageous. And a third thing we need to get away from is this idea that companies themselves should be required to buy health insurance for their employees and split the difference either way with the employees. And so people think healthcare comes automatically when you have a job. I mean, that's not true. It's coming out of your salary and out of your wages, and you're paying way more than you should. Thanks to all these Obamacare mandates. So I would love to see the, you know, that whole, those three things just blasted away. And that would go a very long way to fixing American healthcare. And I tell you what's not going to fix American healthcare is killing CEOs of health insurance companies. But that's what they want you to believe.
Yeah.
And it's all designed to achieve certain results. So I just hope your listeners are aware. You know, we need to increasingly look at public life in this country as if it was a sort of a movie being scripted for us. And we shouldn't be manipulated by it. It's very, very dangerous. And as long as you're alert to how that manipulation takes place, then you can insulate yourself from the effects of this kind of stuff. But that's exactly what's going on right now. Luigi Mangione was attempting, you know, they tried to valorize him and turn him into a hero to get rid of our other heroes in the form of Elon Musk or Vivek Ramaswamy or Donald Trump or RFK Jr. So this is an attempt to create, manufacture, cobbled together in a Hollywood style, a new hero that everybody's supposed to look towards. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people that are vulnerable and easy to manipulate, and they're going for it. And it's pretty pathetic.
It is very pathetic. Jeffrey, thank you. I appreciate you. Come back soon. You know what else is pathetic? Not sleeping well. It's awful. It's horrible. Ruins your life. Ruins your day, doesn't it? When you wake up and your eyes feel like sandpaper and you just know you're going to feel like crap all day, it's awful. Doesn't happen to me ever anymore. I have dream powder from Beam. I have a cup of hot chocolate. That's how difficult getting a good night's sleep is when you have dream powder. You have a cup of delicious hot chocolate. Mine is cinnamon chocolate. It's amazing. It's got melatonin in it and other natural things. It's a natural thing. And you just sip on a cup before bed, and then you'll just find yourself drifting off to sleep. And when you wake up in the morning, instead of feeling groggy and grabby, and you feel rested, like you got perfectly natural sleep, because you did. You want up to 40% off? Go to shopbeam.com/JesseKelly. Go get 40% off. We'll be back. All right, what's going on with corporate transparency? Apparently, there's a deadline right around the corner, and I didn't even find my watch. It's up in my sleeve. There's a deadline right around the corner, and it's a really big deal, and I don't know what's going on. So let's talk to someone who probably does, a recovering investment banker, now author, friend of mine, Carol Roth. She wrote the book You Will Own Nothing and other wonderful books, I should note. Okay, Carol, what is this Corporate Transparency Act? What is the deadline? All this stuff is above my balding head. I don't understand.
So this is the rule that is targeting small business owners. You may recall, it's called the Corporate Transparency Act Beneficial Ownership Information Rule. And basically, the Financial Crimes Division of the Treasury would like to treat small businesses as if they were financial criminals, and if they're not, potentially turn them into financial criminals. The whole reason behind this, they want you to register your information for everybody who's an owner in the business, plus anybody who is a key quote, decision maker, whatever that means, with the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. And they want to have your driver's license or passport and all kinds of personal information that they put into a database. And their stated reason is such an amazing reason. It's to stop cartels, terrorists, and money launderers, because I am certain, for one, that those terrorists and money launderers are going to register their beneficial ownership information with the government. The challenge for small businesses is that if you don't comply, that you could end up in jail. You could end up with a fine of almost $600 per day and growing. And millions of small businesses don't even know about this, despite the fact that it's, you know, completely unconstitutional and shouldn't be a thing to begin with. So there was a lawsuit earlier this year with the NSBA where the court found it unconstitutional, but narrowed the scope to just the plaintiffs in that case, which is insane, because if it's unconstitutional, it should be unconstitutional for everyone. Fortunately, earlier this month, we had a Texas court that put out an injunction and said, Treasury, we're sorry, this is unconstitutional. We're going to make it so that no small businesses who, even single member LLCs or S-Corps, any solopreneur that has an entity, that they're not going to have to do this because we think it's ridiculous. So small businesses have a little bit of breathing room now because the deadline was January 1st. The challenge, Jesse, is that now the government has appealed this injunction. So if the injunction is quote unquote stayed, which means it's lifted or overturned, or if the scope is somehow narrowed again just to the plaintiffs, that means that those penalties, those egregious penalties for noncompliance, can be on the table for millions of small business owners that don't want to comply with something unconstitutional and millions more that don't even know that this exists.
Good freaking grief. Okay, so is there good news on the horizon? This thing is expiring, right? I mean, there's good news coming, surely?
Well, the injunction was very good news because that means for the time being, you don't have to file. But it does mean you have to watch and make sure it's not overturned. What we're trying to do, those of us in the small business community, and I've testified in front of Congress about this, we have a lot of entities from the NFIB who was in that last lawsuit to the S-Corp Association and a whole bunch of groups who are working really hard against this. We're trying to get Congress to add at least a delay to the continuing resolution to fund the government so that maybe we can get at least some time to have the Trump administration look at this. The best thing that we could have is the Trump administration come out and say this is ridiculous because Trump, by the way, vetoed the original congressional authorization for this and Congress overrode his veto. So he could come out and say, we're not going to enforce any penalties and our Treasury is going to completely jettison this. That would be the most certainty for small businesses because big businesses are exempt, financial services companies are exempt, anyone who actually might potentially launder money and be at issue is exempt, and this is purely targeting small businesses. So we need, for our 34 million small businesses in this country, we need some certainty and clarity. So either Congress can do this or the Trump administration can do this or both, but we need that to happen. But if in the meantime, if you are a small business that is not sure if you should file or not, I am personally not filing while there is an injunction, but I'm keeping my eye on the information on a daily basis.
Okay. Let's talk really quickly, Carol, before I let you go about the stock market. It looks to be going well. My finance guy tells me it's going well and it's looking even better. Is this the Trump effect? Is there something else going on? What's going on?
So the stock markets had a crazy year. The S&P 500 to date is up, I think, a little over 30%. So it's been on a tear, and particularly since Trump won, there has been a lot of optimism, and that optimism is very self-fulfilling, particularly as he embraces AI, crypto technology, less regulation, more growth. All of those things are very good. The biggest challenge that we have, particularly for old school folks like myself that used to focus on things like valuations of companies, is that there's something called the Warren Buffett indicator. It's a measurement that Warren Buffett came in to find out if stocks are overvalued. And this Buffett indicator takes the entire market cap of the stock market to the GDP. And now it is at 2x. So the market is 2x the value of the GDP of the US, and that is the highest level it has ever been in all of history. So if you were in a normal situation, you would say this is very overvalued. We're probably due for some sort of a pullback and then maybe a continued upward trend from there. But we are in this era where fiat currency and all the spending and all the shenanigans have kind of disrupted what it means to have valuations and common sense. And so it's hard for us to really wrap our heads around it, but it's definitely an interesting time. At the same time that we have the Buffett indicator saying that, it's kind of flashing a warning sign, consumer sentiment about the stock market is at the highest level in 40 years. So you could say that's a great thing, or you could say, oh no, by the time it comes down to, you know, my taxi or Uber driver, you know, maybe we're at the top of a cycle. But, you know, I do think that it's, we're probably due for some sort of a pullback, a correction, but then probably a continued lift from there. The biggest issue is that inflation is eating up a lot of those gains. So we see the 30%, but when you start to adjust that for inflation, it doesn't look quite as great, but you need to be invested in order to keep pace with it.
Of course, they giveth and they taketh away. Carol, thank you, ma'am, as always, I appreciate you. All right, the drones, it's not going away. What's going on? Well, let's talk to Ross Kennedy about that next. He always knows what's going on. Before we get to Ross, let's talk about something special. Saving a baby's life. Well, now you can save two. You see, right now, preborns, Christmas season, and they got a match. What does that mean? It means for $28, you buy an ultrasound for a young woman who's about to kill her baby. If she takes that ultrasound, she will choose life. She does almost every time. And now through a match, your gift is doubled. So two lives, not even call them babies, two lives for the price of one. Sound like something good to do? It's a Christmas season. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you go to give. Give. It's worth double now. Preborn.com/Jesse. There's a baby who needs you. We'll be back.
There's no question that people are seeing drones, and I want to assure the American public that we in the federal government have deployed additional resources, personnel, technology to assist the New Jersey State Police in addressing the drone sightings. And in September of 2023, the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, changed the rules so that drones could fly at night. And that may be one of the reasons why now people are seeing more drones than they did before, especially from dawn to dusk. And it is critical, as we all have said for a number of years, that we need from Congress additional authorities to address the drone situation. Our authorities currently are limited, and they are set to expire. We need them extended and expanded.
Oh, okay. Well, that clarified absolutely nothing. So what is going on in New Jersey besides the normal people doing New Jersey things? Are they aliens? Is it Iranians? Is it the CIA? Have we been nuked? What is going on? I doubt any of those things are true, or maybe all of them are true. Ross will set us straight. Joining me now, founder of Fortis Analysis, my friend Ross Kennedy, knows more about supply chains and stuff like that than I will ever know. Okay, Ross, we don't traffic in nutball things on the show. We try to just focus on facts here. As you well know, you always straighten us out. What is going on in New Jersey?
Well, I think you've got, you know, what started as a interesting, unusual, you know, video somewhere of a thing somebody didn't know how to identify. A book was written in the 1700s, 1800s, you know, Tulip Mania, The Madness of Crowds, and it talks about the phenomenon of cultural and mass panic, madness type of events, you know, Ponzi schemes, market runs, things like that. And really all we've done as humans is we haven't really updated our understanding of how the world works or our ability to rationalize things we don't understand. We've just simply accelerated our ability to share things that induce panic. Almost every one of these videos that's come out shows very clearly FAA regulated marked navigational lights and anti-collision lights. You've got green on one wing, red on another, white on the tail. And so it's very clear that whatever these are, they're not trying to hide. They're operating in pretty clear line of sight, but the shape of them or the orientation of them is confusing to people because they don't really know what we have. They don't know that we have drones that can, you know, take off very quickly, that they can hover, some that are rotary style, some that are more conventional, you know, fixed wing types or that are propeller driven that look more like regular aircraft, some that are hybrid, you know, like the V-22 Osprey, you know, as a Marine, something you might know about, you know, a tilt rotor that can change its orientation in flight. And some of these videos are just garden variety aircraft doing aircraft things. But we live in an age of social media and mass media induced panic. There's a more interesting question of, if they are government drones and not just people spreading crazy things, what are they doing up there? Why are they operating so visibly in a way that, you know, there's just a density of these sightings that are happening that's non-typical? And that's maybe even the more interesting question than just, well, what are they? Well, what are they? They're very clearly, you know, terrestrial-based, you know, flying machines, for lack of a better term, but they're not aliens, they're not UAPs or anything like that. The question is not so much the what, it's more the why or the timing.
Dang it. I really wanted them to be aliens. And I did love, I don't know how you knew, I am an Osprey fan, although if I remember right, it was a real, real fuel guzzler, and that was a big problem. Okay, so if it is our government, and forgive me, but I'm assuming it is our government, what isn't already a commercial airliner or whatnot, because there's a lot of confusion out there. If it is our government, doesn't it seem like maybe they're looking for something? Would that make sense, Ross? Maybe they just lost something? It happens. I mean, our government has lost nuclear weapons before. It happens. Do you think they maybe lost something?
Well, I think you've got two scenarios here and a third scenario that's really a combination of the two. The fact that these can fully operate in the dark, because of their hyperspectral cameras, because of very advanced avionics systems, even the ones that are more autonomous in nature versus, you know, fully manned type of platforms like a Predator or a Reaper drone. The fact that they're running lights on, the fact that they're operating over civilian areas where camera phones are very much a thing, and the fact that they're saying nothing indicates that it's really, you know, really could only be one of three things. Number one is that it's a test. You know, trust us, we're from the government, we're here to help, is not really a viable answer. And that's kind of what we're getting from the Mayorkas's or the John Kirby's of the world, is, you know, and it's the reason Trump is leaning into this, is you guys are causing panic. Something is going on. You've got to be honest about it, or to some degree. So if we are testing capabilities, you could be testing any number of things. You know, you could have live material that you're training these things, if they're autonomous or semi-autonomous in nature, to be able to detect and follow, to interoperate with each other. But they're also going to have to be responsive at an actual information gathering scenario overseas in support of troops, or in any sort of scenario where they have to be deployed for real. These things will often have the ability to swarm or do leader follower. So you have to train them in a dynamic information environment where people aren't changing their reactions to knowing that these are a certain thing, and don't worry about it. Pattern of life is a part of the training set for these types of things and for the operators. How do people respond to the unknown or the unexpected? So you take all that data in and you can build better mission plans around the use of these platforms and where and how they're operated, launched, maintained. Scenario two, besides this is a test, you know, sort of a live fire test, if you will, over the U.S. Population Center, which is kind of irresponsible, but I do get it. The second scenario is there is a rogue thing on the loose. You know, drones are not just for finding people, which is kind of how most famously we use them, is to find people in vehicles. But a lot of these types of drones that are out there, whether they're fully publicly disclosed or they're kind of hinted at, they do have CBRNE sensors on them. Some of them do. That's your chemical, biological, radiological, nuclear, and explosives detection. It would make an awful lot of sense that these are drones that are more oriented towards homeland defense that are either being tested, or there is a situation that for obvious reasons of national security cannot be talked about. And the third scenario is something akin to, it's a test, but it's an actual real test because there is a real situation, but we're going to call it a test. Again, a thing that has been done numerous times is concealing actual activity behind the veil of testing.
Ross, your hair looks fantastic. I have to tell you,
it's looks beautiful. Awesome. I appreciate
Thank you, my brother. Look at us. Thank you, my brother. That was extremely helpful as always. I appreciate you. All right, lighten the mood. Next.
All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And I'm not even sure if this does lighten my mood. You see, Ketanji Brown Jackson, the DEI hire who sits on SCOTUS because Joe Biden announced that he would only pick a woman and a black woman. So now he went looking and he found one, and she's a complete nutball. And she has a lifelong dream of performing in a Broadway play. And surprise, surprise, she found some gayed-up version of Romeo and Juliet where she plays a he, she, them. I swear on my life I'm not making that up. And we have the video of her performance.
Female empowerment. Sick. I like it too. I think what I like about it is that I am having a very strongly negative reaction to it. Like, I hate it. Which makes me think it must be brilliant.
Got this feeling in my body.
Can't stop the feeling.
Got this feeling in my body.
I can't stop the feeling.
Gonna see
you with your body. I did it. I made it to Broadway.
I'll see you tomorrow.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.